much about.
You gotta put it in perspective. And what I'm thinking as I'm sitting here now, well, maybe this is my big break. This is my big chance. You know what I mean?
You don't just walk onto a network show without experience. Now, I know it's an old hackneyed expression, but it happens to be the truth. You've got to start at the bottom.
I know. That's where I am, at the bottom.
That's a perfect place to start.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G.
Be sort of like what they do in Amsterdam, and that seems to have worked out for that country, right?
Okay, Muggs, Amsterdam's not a country.
Oh, yeah, it's a city.
Muggs, do you know what country Amsterdam is in?
Yes, Denmark.
Know when to get out of the conversation, just like dumping out of a call on the air.
Burger, what you sipping? Ready on Durban!
And now.
Hi, how are you? Hi, how are you? Hi, how are you? Hi, everybody. Oh, hi, how are you? Hi, how are you?
Our feature presentation.
Morning, everybody. Brand new Kevin and Bean Show. It is Thursday morning, the 12th of September.
I feel like it's going great.
So far, so good.
I feel like today is going to be a dynamic and exciting and Hall of Fame level show.
Feels it.
Does it?
Yeah.
I don't think we have any buses to move, but...
I feel like we will soon. Want to run us all over.
There's no King of Mexico, right?
No, he showed up.
He is here. Okay.
5:27. He got here.
Yeah. Christine, no.
No.
Right. More importantly, Muggs, who's supposed to be here at 5.
Yeah, MIA.
That's right.
Yeah. Yes.
Not here.
Was there a party we weren't invited to?
There must have been.
Must have been.
I mean, there usually is, but in this case...
I mean, if we weren't invited, I would be rageful.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know what I mean? I would almost be like... I'd feel like a prophet almost to...
Oh, for not going because you had to get up early the next morning.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
If there was a party, I would feel like I thought ahead of time.
He was a prophet of rage.
Oh, he was a prophet
Who
of
was?
Rage.
Muggs was?
Oh, there was a prophet of rage show.
Yeah.
Weird that I use those two terms
that
and stuff,
weird.
And then it
that
ties back in.
You're joking, right?
Yes.
Oh, good. I thought, I'm losing it.
Well, no, we are losing it, if you mean the show, yes. I mean more.
But wait, I want to make sure I understand here, because, Kevin, you go to things fairly often.
Yeah.
And you still show up the next morning.
Yeah.
How much of the show went? Do we know that?
Oh,
answer?
No. I think just Muggs.
Just
was
Muggs.
There. Or maybe Christine was there. I don't know.
Don't know.
Don't know if Dave was there, but Dave is here now.
Correct.
Okay. All right. So we're slowly getting
They're
staff
trickling
together.
In.
Trickling in.
Yeah.
Okay.
I think it's a good start. I'm happy with it.
I would like
to suggest that we put this into place in the future.
Well, it's worked for us so far. Guys, I played a little snippet of Hi, How Are Ya in the intro there. Jensen and I were commiserating with one another yesterday as Daniel Johnson fans. Allie, I know you're on board as well.
Mm-hmm.
It was very sad news. I was stunned by it, to tell you the truth. Because he's been off the radar for so long.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? I kind of felt like he was doing fine. But he had a heart attack and died at 58. Kevin, you familiar with Daniel Johnston?
I'm not, no.
You will love him, I think.
He's incredible.
He's an incredible songwriter. And the best analogy I can give for you, Kevin, is our old friend Wesley Willis.
Yes.
Who is just the sweetest guy in the world until he has a manic episode.
Yeah.
And then he can be scary. And Daniel Johnston was very similar to Wesley Willis in that he was an artist who ended up being so renowned that his work sells for hundreds of dollars, has been shown in the Whitney Museum. I mean, he was that kind of an artist. But he also was an incredibly prolific singer-songwriter of some of the sweetest and most heartbreaking songs you've ever heard.
Yeah.
He had bipolar syndrome. He battled a lot of demons throughout his life. At one point, he was very obsessed with the devil. In fact, at one point, he thought he was performing an exorcism on a 67-year-old woman who ended up jumping out a window to get away from him and broke both legs. He spent multiple times in multiple mental institutions, including quite a while in Austin. But then you'd catch him on a different day, and he couldn't have been a sweeter, kind-hearted, more open, childlike person. Yeah. I mean, he he really was a DIY guy who started his career by just recording his music on cassettes and then just handing it out to pretty girls on the street.
Yeah. In his McDonald's uniform.
In his McDonald's uniform. That's for his work at the time. Amazing. Yes.
Can you run the board for us?
Unfortunately, he's no longer
okay.
Available. Right. But he was beloved by people in rock and indie music. There were covers of his songs by everybody from Lana Del Rey to Beck to Death Cab for Cutie. Kurt Cobain kind of made him really, really famous by wearing one of his T-shirts on the MTV Movie Awards one year. Mm-hmm. He was one of Kurt's favorite artists, right?
Yeah, he said it was one of his major influences in songwriting, and that brought a lot of eyes to him, obviously. And then there was a documentary that was also very, very good.
Yeah, won a bunch of awards, The Devil and Daniel Johnson, which is certainly worth seeking
very
out.
Much,
I mean,
yeah.
Just a really, really sweet guy, and I'm telling you, I'm going to give up almost a minute of my time here to play a little piece of one of Daniel Johnson's songs, because I think it's the least we can do. Yeah. To remember this great artist. And I think you hear this, and this will give you an idea of what his life was like, because a lot of his songs, if he wasn't writing about Frankenstein, King Kong, or Casper the Friendly Ghost, he was writing songs about his life. And you listen to this and tell me you don't feel every word of it.
Listen up and I'll tell a story about an artist growing old. Some would try for fame and glory, others aren't so bold. Everyone and friends and family saying, hey, get a job. Why do you only do that only? Why are you so odd? We don't really like what you do. We don't think anyone ever will. It's a problem that you have, and this problem's made you ill.
I mean, come on. That's heartbreaking. Anyway, Daniel Johnson, a terrific artist. If you're unfamiliar with his work, you ought to check out whatever streaming service you use and listen to some of his songs. I think you'll be happy you did. R.I.P. age 58.
Absolutely.
All right, let's talk about today's Kevin and Bicho, shall we?
I challenge you to take an extra 0.5 seconds to think about what comes out of your mouth before you say it.
Vaping will kill you.
Ah.
Fatality.
That's almost not an exaggeration these days.
Also, Omar just started.
Yeah.
Once the news came out, he's like, I challenge you.
Good times. I saw him at the Cure, and he's like, dude, I found the best thing to sleep. It's perfect. It's, you know, it's, and he's so excited. I take one hit, I'm asleep in 5 minutes. I'm so excited. Mm-hmm. Next day, vaping can kill you.
Omar is going to beat death, though, you guys.
There is a movie called The Fanatic that mm-hmm. stars John Travolta.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not good.
It depends. Do you like bad things?
If they're bad enough,
very
I
much.
Love.
Then yes. it come back
then
around?
It's very good.
Okay.
Oh, excellent.
Is it The Room bad?
Yeah, absolutely.
Oh, fantastic.
Except there's an Oscar nominee in it. Two-time.
Yes.
So, yeah.
Jensen has Get Up on this like we do on Thursdays.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to talk to people that will not let you into their house. It's a weird thing. Maybe you're dating them. Maybe they're in your family. But basically, anytime you do anything, it's at someone else's house. You can't mm-hmm. go there. And it's kind of a mystery. Why? What's going on there?
I think if somebody doesn't want you in their house, I think you don't want to be in their house.
Oh, I agree.
Because you're going to find out they have like 800 dogs or something, you know?
800 dogs.
Well, you know, like hoarders.
Yeah.
Do sometimes.
And also, we'll speak with R.J. Bell from Vegas about week number 2 and his picks for the NFL. We'll take a break. We'll come on. 6.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show at 5:55.
What I like about Ally McKay.
What? Big, thick thighs.
Thank
not
you.
Only that, not only that.
Thank you. They're juicy.
That's what I heard. Not only that, she brings us what's happening every morning at this time to catch us up with what we missed whilst we slept.
Oh, yeah. I'm up all night. While you guys are sleeping, I'm mm-hmm. just like...
You're, the whole time...
I'm just Googling random names to yeah. find out if I can get info.
Well, you don't want to miss anything.
Right? I'm like, Sade, what's she been up to?
By the way, I'd like to know.
Yeah. I have no idea. That was a weird choice.
It was.
Kevin Hart is out of the hospital, you guys. TMZ has learned he's now at a live-in rehab facility doing intense physical therapy to, of course, recover from that car crash that he had and the surgery that he had. Insane amounts of surgery.
Yeah.
I mean, just awful. And
that's going to take a while.
I was going to say, and that's really just the beginning. Sources with direct knowledge tell TMZ that he's happy to be out of the hospital, that he called home for 10 days. He's got a real positive attitude, and he's just grateful to be alive. They said the goal now is to get him home as soon as possible, and they think realistically in that rehab he could spend more or less a week or so at the live-in facility. So good luck to Kevin Hart. This is now going to be an uphill battle for the rest of his life.
Yeah, yeah. Back injuries is no joke. Hey, I have a question, and this is minor compared to Kevin's health. But if the accident was caused by his driver speeding, mm-hmm. are there any kind of legal repercussions from that? Or
I mean, no, I don't think. Can
Meaning,
you sue
can
the...
Kevin sue his friend that yeah. has no money and Kevin has all the money?
Right, yeah.
I'm sure he could.
Really?
Or insurance. Yeah. Or insurance, I'm just wondering.
Well,
and,
yeah.
Well, and it's his car, which is a problem.
I mean, wouldn't you have to prove that in the car you're like, slow down, slow down! Like, wouldn't you have to prove that you weren't into it?
And this isn't a police thing at all? If somebody is going 100 miles an hour in, you know, in Malibu and wrecks a car, that's no police involved either, as long as there's not another person outside the car involved?
Well, if you were drunk, or I guess if they could find out that you were driving completely reckless, but mm-hmm. I don't think that's going to be the case here.
Okay.
As long as you didn't, like, damage public property or hit another car.
Well, they did go through a fence.
Well, then, yeah, there would be an issue with the fence can sue.
I don't know what kind of lawyers the fence has. I don't know. It's of course, they can figure out how fast they were going-ish by, yeah. you know, the skid marks and stuff right. like that, but... Yeah, I don't know. I think the last thing Kevin Hart is thinking is trying to get money.
Yes, you're right.
A, he has it.
And B, he'd like to walk instead.
He'd probably like to be able to sit at some point.
Imagine, like, that dude's schedule is so quadruple booked every single day
yeah.
that he's now has to clear out everything for the next
yeah.
few months, I would assume.
Yeah. He's potentially losing millions
oh, yeah.
every single week.
For sure.
And also crews that are involved in these shoots and... Mm-hmm. It's really kind of, it has a bigger effect, bigger ripple effect than you would assume.
Yeah.
Oh, maybe he should sue the guy with nothing. And who am I to say this guy has nothing? He could come from an oil family. Maybe his family owns ketchup.
Or the fence could be made of gold. You didn't even say that.
The fence could be made of gold.
It could be the fanciest fence. And he's
you
ready to sue.
You have to think about all
or
the variables.
Or she, I'm yeah. sorry.
He
fence,
or she.
The fence could have been either.
Right.
Or more. Been. Or more. He, she, or more.
Mm-hmm.
I honestly...
Covering your bases?
Well, I'm also just concerned about the fence.
We're going to get it together for the next hour.
Nope.
Promise.
Oh my God, it's not even six yet. We're not
No, we're good. We're good. Some birthdays for you. Rapper Nas, actors Ben McKenzie, Andrew Lincoln, Sam Neill, Jennifer Hudson, Emmy Rossum, and from Rush, I'm going to say his name correctly, so when you all email me and go, you pronounce it Pert. No, you don't. His name is Neil Peart, and I get these emails every single time, and then people look it up, and then they don't write back and say, oh, you're right, I was wrong. So I'm just telling you what's going to happen right now. You're wrong. It's Peart. Happy
you
birthday, Neil.
You're such a cuck. You're such a cuck, all of you listening, cuckers.
Oh, I forgot she wasn't finger on the button girl today, so Ruben might have freaked out, but he's asleep. Yeah. Just kidding, Ruben. And that's what's happening.
Oh. How about some new music from Green Day, by the way?
What have they been doing?
Where have they been? Oh, wait, playing the Rose Bowl next summer, an unbelievable lineup along with Weezer, Fall Out Boy, and the Interrupters. Tickets are going on sale next Friday for that, even though the show isn't until, if I'm remembering correctly, like the 20th of July next year.
Yeah,
or
I think
25th, right?
Yeah. Right?
25th
yeah,
of July.
Crazy.
I mean, that's planning ahead, I guess. Hey, there are many ways to get in touch with us here on the Kevin and Bean Show, and the easiest, because it's on your time schedule anytime, day or night, when you feel like leaving us a voice message, just to give us a call on the AFRO line. It's 323-520-AFRO. You call, leave us a message. Message, we play them back on the radio.
Like this one.
What is I'm Dominic Comedian.
What is he doing?
Can't figure it out.
How do you even make that noise if you wanted to?
I don't know. If you set about to make that exact noise, it would take you forever.
I was nervous it was his lungs. It was from breathing.
I found a Tickle Me Fozzie toy. It's like the perfect boyfriend. It vibrates.
Waka waka!
That's for you, I assume,
that
Allie.
That was Fozzie. It said waka waka at the end.
And it vibrated. That was the key thing.
But that was an Elmo.
He didn't say it was
Elmo. He didn't say Elmo.
He said Fozzie.
Well, he said tickle me
Fozzie.
Elmo. I'm not listening. What's happening? Good Lord.
You know,
I tuned out as soon as I heard
the first love
Armenian.
Of your life was Fozzie Bear?
No, I know that.
So he was calling about that.
There's a vibrating.
There's a vibrating tickle me Fozzie?
Yes.
That thinks it could be your boyfriend.
See, you start with Sam, and I tuned out.
I got you.
I got nothing.
Podcast listener.
Hi, Kevin and Bean. So I don't work in the summer, and I wasn't listening in the morning for a little while, a couple months. And so now I'm listening again, and I missed some stuff. And I'm wondering why Allie keeps calling everyone a c-. Like, what's up with that? I don't even think you could say c- on the radio. Someone explain, please.
See, I'm not saying that word, ma'am, because you got beeped. I'm saying C-U-C-K. Which is a word that I use incorrectly every time, so I can't really explain what it means.
I cleared it up.
Bean, bean, touch my feet.
Beautiful. It's just
that
beautiful.
Was touching.
Gorgeous.
Really beautiful.
Somebody's got a new ringtone.
This is Sam, the Armenian comedian.
Again. What? Why? How?
Why do you hate our listeners?
Here's the thing. I guarantee, this is why I love him. I guarantee when he hung up, he went, wow, that was great. I really nailed that.
He's like, but that one, I missed the crackling. Gotta call back.
Hey, Kevin and Bean, podcast listener here, calling in about drunk parents. I have many a story, but one in particular. We were having a Halloween party. We used to have some pretty epic ones. And caught my mom's friends smoking weed on the side of the house. And I had never seen that adult smoking weed like that before. And so I was like, Mom, Robin and her sisters are smoking weed on the side of the house. And my mom was like, what? They started without me. And Brandon joined.
Wow.
Great story.
That's awesome.
So I'm calling about the Hey Guys.
We did this yesterday, the story that says you can't say hey guys anymore because it's not politically correct because you're leaving out all females, which we didn't fully buy into, by the way.
Right.
I went into my office and said, what's up, bitches? And my boss sent me home for the day.
Oh, no.
Hey. Allie.
That was Allie's suggestion.
See, I said, skip hey guys if you want to, but just walk into your boss and just go, what's up, my bitches? Maybe he didn't do it like at that tone.
He didn't really
Allie, do you need
it.
A gardener or like a dog walker? This dude doesn't have a job, probably.
I mean, give me a call, sir. Sorry.
Next on the Kevin and Bean Show, ranch dressing. What's up?
Right?
Jeez. What's next? Nutella. What's up?
Oh, great one. Let
Not
me write that
idea.
Down.
Not
write
a bad
it down.
Idea.
Write
Nutella,
it down. Good one. Mm-hmm. All right. Okay, that's all I can play
Damn
for
it,
because
Kevin.
I know Allie will write
it. Damn it.
So I'm just going to skip past the rest of that one. That was maybe the best one, but really long. Really long.
Sure.
Okay, now stop. Heimer time. Hit it, Steve.
Is it Heimer? Is it Heimer?
I love it so much.
Fantastic.
Great.
Kevin and Sam. Kevin and Sam. Check it out. Check it out. K-I-O-Q. The most famous Kevin and Sam show. Sorry, Bean. Got to go.
So, first of all, I'm not being fired, Sam.
Yeah, I heard Sam say you've got to go.
Say sorry, you got to go.
Second of all, that's him officially throwing his hat into the ring to replace me, right?
Yeah.
I mean, that was an air check, so
that's,
yeah.
That's what it sounded
like. He needs to do that. I mean, he's got the job.
He's got the gig.
As far as Kevin's concerned, it's his to lose, right?
Yeah, his eyes lit up.
Hey, guys. Podcast listener here. I missed National Cover Day. So I was wondering, can you play Kevin's cover of the Interrupters song? I know I couldn't request it because I only listen to the podcast, but I would really love to hear that.
And now, it's time for A Moment with Kevin.
It started out like any other morning. The sky was red and it took a warning. She had the... Hold on, let me take that part again.
You're reading it.
She had the now and the beers are swarming.
What?
Bees, not beers.
She had the hive, now the
no!
beer
hit the hive.
She hit the hive and
I didn't even hear what night this was.
It's night one.
Oh, good God.
Should I start over?
Yes.
It's night one.
That was okay.
Still good.
That poor bastard was playing for tickets, and I was the guy giving him clues.
To great. Acoustic Christmas.
Yeah.
It was great.
It was
man.
Not ideal. 323-520-8FRO. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show at 651.
Thursdays mean two great things on the Kevin and Bean Show. Dr. Drew Pinsky, who's going to, I think, applaud Omar for just getting in on the vaping hype. Just starting to vape now.
I think you should jump right in too, Bean.
Sure, why the hell not? And also, Jensen introduces us to something new with Get Up On This. That's coming up right after the top of the hour. First, Allie's here with what's happening on a Thursday.
It's going down tomorrow night, you guys. K-Rock's Guys Night Out at the Bicycle Hotel and Casino. Yeah! You can play poker with Beer Mug, with Kevin, with Dave, the King of Mexico, all while you're listening to Omar spin the latest tunes. That's the dumbest thing I've
ever
said.
Is that on there?
No.
Wow.
No. Oh, I added that stupidity.
There's some blackjack tables and everybody drinks and it's a great time.
Blackjack
it's really
or
fun.
Poker?
It's mostly poker, but there are blackjack tables if that's what you want to play.
Okay. This party lit.
Well, you
this
can
party
win.
Lit. I think that's accurate.
You can win a spot to play poker at Dave the King of Mexico's table right now if you give us a call. 1-800-520-1067. The winner must be 21 or over. So let's just take caller 21 at 1-800-520-1067. And if you want more info or you want to maybe sit at another table, go to thebike.com for more info.
Reserve
the
spot.
Mexican.
What?
Guess what?
The
just
Mexican.
Because you're going to sit at Dave the King of Mexico's table, we're going to throw in a rack of chips worth $200.
Woo!
But how many pesos?
¿Qué es esto?
Mexicans!
Did somebody order Mexican?
So, give a call right now. It'll be fun. So, yesterday, 9/11, somber day. You want to particularly make sure that if you're a company, that you don't tweet out something really inappropriate. Like, hey, special deal today. 9 tacos for $11, something like that. You
that
don't want to. Well, no, I'm just saying dumb
okay.
things
okay.
like that happen every year.
Agreed.
Right.
And this year, Kristen Cavallari was under fire because of a post of hers in New York City where it was her wearing a very low cut dress. So it was mostly bosom right there.
Go on.
And the caption said, New York City for 24 hours. What a time to be here. Always remember. I mean, maybe not great. Wrong photo with the message. Maybe post something about the towers or people that helped that day. Maybe
never
first
forget,
responders.
Perhaps.
Yeah, maybe not just a hot picture of you in a little black dress showing off your bosom. Well, she is reportedly...
Look, let's not shame her for that.
No, no, no,
yeah, no.
No.
We're cool with thirst traps. Okay. It's just the wrong time.
Just not on 9/11
right.
standing in New York
9/11
City.
Thirst trap, though. Good band name.
Yeah. She has reportedly fired a member of her social media team after what many called the insensitive 9/11 tribute.
Was this Twitter or Instagram?
Instagram.
Okay.
Did you guys see that?
Looking for the picture?
Yeah. Well,
yep.
He loves
she has
tragedy.
Deleted it.
Yeah, he loves tragedy porn.
Yeah.
There was Betty Boop on Twitter posted a very, I mean, not funny on purpose, but like a hashtag never forget. And it's Betty Boop like boop, boop, bitty, boop, doing it to the camera. But then in the background are the Twin Towers.
Yeah, you don't want that.
I thought it was actually pretty classy, so.
For Betty Boop.
The whole thing. I mean, it was the best tribute I saw all day, so.
It's a little tone deaf, you guys, this this post.
Do you need a minute?
Is that what you call it, Bean? Tone deaf?
I need less than a minute.
I thought you might. Good times, you guys. September 22nd, 71st Primetime Emmy Awards. It
already?
Is
already.
Yes,
wow.
Award season is back, everybody.
Uh-huh. Honestly, did any of you know the Emmys were on September 22nd?
That's like next week, right?
Yeah, it's insane. Yeah. No. They're going to live from the Microsoft Theater in L.A. on September 22nd. Going to be on Fox. And the first group of presenters has been announced. Nominees Angela Bassett, Stephen Colbert, Viola Davis, Michael Douglas, Jimmy Kimmel, Seth Meyers, Billy Porter. These are all presenters, as well as actors from Game of Thrones. Of course, it's on Fox, so you had to add Taraji P. Henson and Terrence Howard there from mm-hmm. Empire, as well as 911's Peter Krause and Zendaya.
Remember.
It's just a show, 911.
Oh, sorry. Got it.
Yeah,
sorry.
Yeah. I see what you did, though. Plus Zendaya and Naomi Watts.
No host, though, right?
No. No okay. host. Yeah. So September 22nd from 8 to 11 p.m. on Fox. At least with the host, they shorten the time.
Do
8 to 11.
Do
8
they, though?
To 11, my God.
Will it end at 11?
It'll, my
yeah.
gosh.
I mean, I hope.
I'm going to guess no.
That is a long show, you guys.
Well, they're all 3 hours. Every one of the major award shows is 3 hours.
Minimum.
Hollywood loves giving out awards to Hollywood.
Yes. Mm-hmm. More than anything.
Was that your breaking news?
That was it, yes.
Okay. All right, cut
it. You missed your know-it-all.
Well, today is a very good day for Jersey Shore star Mike The Situation Sorrentino. He is set to be released from federal prison in Otisville, New York today after serving his 8-month sentence for tax evasion. So,
what a situation.
Welcome back to the free world.
That's something I was actually thinking a lot about in jail.
Hmm.
Was The Situation. Mm-hmm.
What do you think where's he going to pop up first?
Oh, well, they've been on Jersey Shore the whole time doing stories about him being in jail. So I'm sure as he walks out of jail, the cameras will be there. Gotcha. And then I assume they're going to go get some Italian food, have some meatballs.
Get in a fight.
Talk about what happened. Catch me up on some stuff.
Get a tan.
Go straight back to jail.
I was thinking tanning salon first because he was able to do gym and laundry while in prison.
Right, right.
Good point.
What if he comes out and he's just pale as hell? Like Casper
no one
the Friendly Ghost.
And he lost 100 pounds.
Yeah, he's like Tilda Swinton's color.
What if he looks just like Tilda Swinton? Just so thin.
Who is that? It's me, The Situation, but looks just like Tilda Swinton.
Wow.
Just in case you do get into a situation, I want to make sure that you are situated. Because if you do get into a situation with your situation, you may end up with a situation, and you may not like that situation.
Yeah, we should.
Once again,
him.
I am amazed at the level of blithering idiocy that issues from your pie hole.
I mean,
he does good work.
Yeah. Also, I realized when we talked about Kristen Cavallari, we didn't have the drop up about the tan baby.
Oh, yeah.
Who has that? Who has it? Bean?
I think I do, yeah. Hang on.
Tan baby. Steven, tan baby.
Greatest moment
oh
in
my gosh.
Reality show history.
Yes.
Jensen, do you know this one?
I do.
If you and Steven had babies, they'd be so good looking. They would.
Because Steven's all tan.
I know, forgive her for that 9/11.
Greatest moment of TV.
I know, they should have known that before they really came down on her about this.
Because Steven's all tan. Oh, do it one more time.
Okay, now I got to fight it one more time.
I have it.
If you and Steven had babies, they'd be so good looking. They would. Because Steven's all tan.
So good. What a genius.
It's so wonderful. I mean, this whole break has been about being tan.
Sure.
That's right.
Yeah. Situation. We've got Kristen and Steven's baby.
Mm-hmm. Tilda Swinton.
Tan. Oh, gosh. That's so good. All right, you guys. Some birthdays for you. Jennifer Hudson, Emmy Rossum, Ben McKenzie, Andrew Lincoln, Nas, and Sam Neill. This is a stacked,
yeah, that's stacked.
Birthday day, mm-hmm. which is weird because it's not the most popular.
No
it's not.
Day. What is the most popular, Bean?
I don't know. Wasn't it like 3 days ago, something like that?
Was it Monday
September 9th.
Or
September 9th.
September 9th.
I'll never forget. I'll always remember.
Oh, my disappointment is immeasurable. Mm-hmm. And my day is ruined.
Because I didn't mention Neil Peart. Sorry about that.
You guys, next Wednesday, starting at 5:30 in the morning, you can give blood at the Hollywood Park Casino. Mugs will be there around 7:15. It's courtesy of our friends at Rambo Last Blood. They are sponsoring the blood drive this year with tons of prizes. I joke, but Muggs will be there bright and early with Not Scary Farm tickets, tickets to LA Comic Con, upcoming K-Rock concerts and stuff. But come by just to do the right thing, all right? Just swing on by. You win a prize. Maybe you win a prize. Maybe you don't win a prize. But you've saved a life by giving blood. It only takes about a half an hour or so. And we welcome you to join us. And thanks to Rambo Last Blood, the legend comes home in theaters on September 20th, next Wednesday at the Hollywood Park Casino.
Coming up in a few minutes, we're going to take your calls on things, on people that you know that won't allow you into their house. Mm-hmm. That's a weird thing.
Something sketchy going on.
Something
there.
Something sketchy for sure.
Yep. Jensen, you ready?
I am.
Hit it, Steve.
Get up, get on up.
On this.
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 Listen. We've had a nice little run for TV shows recently on Get Up On This. Despite the marketplace being extremely crowded, there's a new TV show every single day. But I feel like I've done a pretty good job telling you what shows you should watch. But let's do a quick game here. I looked through some TV shows last night, and I'm going to list you three different shows. You tell me if they're real or fake.
Okay.
All right. First, Billy Zane stars in Curfew, where in the near future, to protect the population from a virus, the UK government imposes a curfew. But a few lucky groups get to take place in a street race for sanctuary.
I've never heard of that, but it sounds like it could be real.
I'm going to say fake.
Never heard of it.
It's real.
Okay.
How about Mind the Malhotras? A married Middle Eastern couple visits a wacky therapist. Wow. Visits a wacky therapist to make sure their union is on the right track. But the taboo subjects they tackle are just out too much.
That's got to be fake.
Fake.
Feel like all of these are going to be
me
real.
Too.
That's a real show.
Okay.
Checkered Flag stars Kevin Connolly, who plays an about-to-retire NASCAR champion, now caught up in a crime ring that has him on the brink of a crash and burn.
I hope it's fake,
that's
but I fear it's real.
That one's fake.
Ah!
All right. See, there's too much
You're
TV.
You're messing with us.
Too much TV. But it's time to make another exception for this week's Get Up On. It is Wu-Tang, An American Saga on Hulu.
There's no band called the Wu-Tang
no,
Clan.
This is real. Now, as we find ourselves in the middle of the 25th anniversary of 36 Chambers, that's the seminal rap group's debut album. It's so good. It's arguably the best rap album of all time. There has been no shortage of media chronicling the group, right? There was the book Once Upon a Time in Shaolin, which is pretty good. The recent Showtime documentary of Mics and Men that I praised highly on this show. Loved it. Thought it was great. But now we enter the realm of a scripted show, and I am wildly impressed with the approach of the show.
All right.
It is so great and fun. No worries, bald dudes from Orange County with facial statements who will write me aggressively on social media. This show is not about rap music.
Yeah, this is K-Rock, not K-Crap.
Listen, it's not about rap music, at least yet. Season one of the series follows these Wu-Tang members before they even got into a rap group. It's them as teenagers, and it's a crime story more than it is a music story. So it's based in reality, but it's a fictionalized retelling of how the guys got together.
Huh. Okay.
So the sky is the limit. You see certain things that are involved in their real lives, but then it's just a good story more than anything that that they're putting together. It follows Bobby, right? He's played by a very impressive young actor named Ashton Sanders, who will grow up to become the RZA, but they don't say any of those names throughout the entire first season.
Wow.
So you're trying to figure out who's who as they're going through?
Yes.
Oh, that's hard.
Well, you don't even need to, though. It's not important. It's just if you know those little kind of facts, it's even better. But the show works on its own. It's a little like it's more The Wire than it is a rap show.
All right, you mentioned Bobby. Who's playing Ricky and Ronnie and Michael?
No, different group.
Okay.
Different group. But for now, we're in the middle of a drug war between residents of Park Hill and the Stapleton Projects, for which his brother Divine, that's RZA's brother in real life, is heavily involved in the drug trade, and members of the eventual group, Wu-Tang, are split amongst the two different gangs. So you generally don't know anything. Even if you don't know anything about Wu-Tang, you will like the show very much.
Interesting.
It's actually probably better you don't, because then you'll learn, you know, when they get their names, et cetera, et cetera. But there's no way that you won't know who young Ason is because he looks and sounds and acts exactly like old Dirty Bastard. So you'll figure out that evolution before anyone else. Throughout the tense back and forth between Divine and his rival neighborhood drug lord Supreme, Bobby, also known as RZA eventually, must choose between helping his brother and family in the streets or honing in on his talents in music production. Even working with a kid named Shaw from the other side of the gang tracks, who will eventually grow up to be be Raekwon the Chef.
Oh.
It's played by the most, I think, the greatest Spider-Man, at least in the last 10, 15 years, Shameik Moore, who played Peter Parker in Spider-Verse, which was great. And he's really good in it, too. Here's a clip from the show where Bobby talks to his brother, Divine, and Divine is explaining to him that it's time to focus on the hustle and to take care of the family rather than rap.
Hey, we just trying to make music, yo.
It must be nice to have dreams. Hmm? But they ain't real. This house is real. That food on your plate, the money that pays for all of it, is real.
Your way ain't the only way, Vaughn.
You know, the other thing about dreams is that they're there for you to wake up from. You want to make it in this world? Then put in the work.
It's honestly kind of rap music Sopranos a little. Yeah. It's just you wouldn't even know it. You wouldn't even know it involves rap music heavily until probably season two or three.
Very interesting.
Now, if you're a diehard Wu-Tang fan like I am, listen, I know I'm way too diehard, but you'll find major Easter eggs like an arcade game mentioning bees or hearing Method Man's first rap moniker, Panty Raider.
I'm sorry?
Method Man's first rap name was Panty Raider. You'll also hear small parts of songs, RZA working on it, Bobby, just a small sample that maybe you'll recognize that comes up later in the show. Like, oh, that's Cream. You'll like notice small things. But the true star here is the approach of the show. RZA and Alex C, those are the co-writers and producers of every episode, somehow were able to take a memoir and turn it into something bigger. Someone myself, I wrote a memoir, and I've always had trouble approaching how I'm going to do it, how you tell so much in such a little amount of time.
Yeah.
How about you don't? How about you just tell a good story?
Yeah.
And this is really the first time that I could think of where that's actually happened, where you take... It's almost... They look at them almost like Marvel characters in a way. Like, you can tell six different X-Men stories.
Right.
Right? They don't all have to work together. They don't all have to be factual. Like, this is very much a fun way to approach something that we all think we know about, right? It's fictionalized but rooted in a true story. So, it's awesome. It almost has comic book origins, like I said, which makes sense because Alex C., the co-writer and co-executive producer,
he is Stan Lee.
No.
Okay.
No.
I thought Alex C. was... going to become
Stanley is dead.
Okay.
But he basically was the co-writer of the Watchmen movie that I think is better than everyone else does.
All right.
Huh. The scope is huge. It's unpredictable. And Hulu right now has the first four episodes released. Every Wednesday, there's a new one.
Mm-hmm.
Wu-Tang Wednesday there. But the first four are already there. And I'm totally jealous of this show. I think that they did an incredible job of taking something that could be very niche and opening it up to a lot of people.
Do they plan on multiple seasons? Or
that's
will
the
they...
plan.
Okay.
So this, I don't know. We obviously don't know how season one ends.
Mm-hmm.
But we assume the group gets together over time and they start working out. You can see it's sort of bubbling in Bobby's head as to maybe using...
And Bobby is RZA.
That is true.
Okay.
And they use their real names. And you'll meet Clifford Smith. He works at the Statue of Liberty. That's Method Man. Because
Clifford.
Method Man, Clifford really did work at the Statue of Liberty.
Wow.
So you learn those things small, like there are real facts in there, but it's told in this incredible sort of dramatized gang warfare show. And if you love those, this is right in line. It just coincidentally involves the characters from the Wu-Tang.
Love it.
Interesting.
Guys, that's my get up on. It is Wu-Tang, an American saga, now on Hulu. Check it out.
Get up, get on up,
all this.
Get up, get on up,
all this.
Get up.
Don't forget, every Thursday morning, RJ Bell joins us at 8 a.m. with his NFL picks, this time for week number two. I'm reading a book that I very much enjoyed called The Yellow House. And one of the things that I found was really interesting is this is a family of 12 that grows up in East New Orleans, and they are embarrassed about the inside of their house. Embarrassed about it. They do not think their house reflects how they want to be perceived by the rest of the world. So the entirety of the lives of these kids that then grow up into young adults that live at this house, they do everything they can to stop anyone from ever coming to their house.
Oh, man.
So they'll go and play at somebody's house, for instance, and then the mom will say, hey, why don't you play over at your house sometime? And they're like, oh, can't do that.
They're busy that day.
Yeah, not available. Getting the carpets clean or whatever it is. So they essentially have to kind of cordon off their own house from all of their friends.
That's so sad.
That is
just
sad.
Because
is
they're
sad.
Ashamed of it.
Because they're ashamed of it.
Well, yeah, I mean, I grew up with a family in high school, a family I basically was friends with everyone. Mm-hmm. I knew the father, the mother. I was really close with their son and knew the sister and everything. And in, I guess at our school or our group of friends, people went to each other's house almost every day.
Yeah.
So like you would end up coming, you know, like we live close to the school. So why don't you come over today, play video games or whatever. Right. And after I would say a year, we realized we had never been to his house. And
that's sort of weird.
And that went on for 15 years. Like wow. That went on.
Did you ever ask? Like, hey, why don't we go
eventually,
to your house?
I mean, when you're that close to someone, it comes up. And so the parents, I think, also may have addressed it with our parents a couple times. Mm. But basically, we had put together that they were hoarders. And that it involved, you know, like from newspapers to trash to like...
To cat
like
poop.
The show, yeah. Cats, like the hoarder show. They had, I don't think... Maybe they don't dump out cat poo.
Oh, right? Yeah, there's feces everywhere sometimes in a hoarder house.
It's so awful. But they were just trying their best just to keep everyone out.
And you could understand.
Probably no room.
Yeah, and you just, nice.
You could barely get the door open.
And you could imagine, too, like, the amount of shame and guilt. And, like, as you're a teenager and you know no one could come to your house, it's like the worst feeling.
So sad.
That is rough.
Brutal.
But I also think, and we thought this might be an interesting phone topic if you've been involved in a relationship, romantic or otherwise, friends, whatever. We thought it'd be interesting to find out the stories of nobody was allowed at somebody's house. Mm-hmm. And did you ever find out why? Mm-hmm. I mean, there could also be situations where somebody just has a terrible relationship with their parents and they don't want to bring their friends around because they don't want their friends to, I don't know, suffer the wrath of their parents.
We had to set a friend of mine straight as to why she was never invited to her boyfriend's house. At first it was, he's having roommate issues. Mm-hmm. It's awful. Then it was, my place is a mess. Let's go to your house. Let's do that.
So that's two red flags.
Two red flags. then we finally said to her, any chance, A, he lives at home. B, he has a wife. C,
bingo.
Like it's, or C, he just doesn't want you around. All three of those things are a problem if he's not being upfront with you.
Yeah, of course.
The wife thing is a problem.
It's
regardless.
A bigger problem, sure.
Yeah, the living
wife,
with
wife
the,
and kids. By the way. Yeah,
living with parents. That's something that maybe he was ashamed about, that type of thing. But they wound up breaking up. She never found out.
Wow.
Yeah. Isn't that something?
Yeah.
Interesting.
So 1-800-520-1067, that's the telephone number. I bet there have been a lot of situations with dating where somebody just doesn't want you at their house because they just don't want you to see how they live. You know,
they just think it represents them poorly.
Yeah, like if, you know, you're a slob or whatever. You don't want to bring somebody over, or I don't know. You don't want to. I'm about to make a bad example.
Don't set it up like that. Just come with it.
You don't want them to know you've got a whole bunch of tarantulas here.
What's going on? You don't want them to know.
What am I dating Billie Eilish?
You I mean, have a bunch of tarantulas in your house.
Yeah, just all willy-nilly.
Just running around all crazy.
I was just thinking about somebody who maybe that's their thing is they collect like reptiles and spiders and stuff like that. And I'm like, oh man, this is going to freak out any chick I try to bring home. So it's just best if I keep them away.
I do know someone who went home with a guy once and showed up, and it was he had tons of birds live. Like he collected birds, and there was like even in the
Not
bathtub,
Crowley.
He had bigger birds. And maybe he never should have let women come to his house.
Yeah,
I had a friend named Chris that came over to my house. We were going to be going out, so I'm like, "Oh, just come to my house first, then we'll leave from here." Walked in, saw all of my Christmas stuff up. It was early November, and he just looked at me and he goes, "Allie, seriously, pre-turkey is a real boner killer. No dude is ever going to want you walking in here." And I was like, "Chris, that is hurtful and delightful." It made me laugh so hard.
By the way, it's November.
That's what I'm
saying. You start in the summer.
I do not.
Do you have a Christmas tree? Do you have a Christmas tree up right now at your house?
No, it's a white birch tree with white lights that then during the different holidays I will put on different ornaments on that correspond to the holiday. I can't wait to put my Halloween stuff up on that white birch tree.
All right, so it's year round. You feel like that's
but
right.
It's not a Christmas tree. It's just a white birch tree. It's not
that
a,
becomes a Christmas tree.
No. That leaves. That goes into a totally different room when I bring out my three Christmas trees.
All right. So maybe in this example, Allie is the person who should never have anyone come over.
Thanks, Chris Porter.
I think there's definite red flags if the person doesn't want you to see how they live, because that's a lot of their personality. I was friends with a guy named Gene
one time, and his wife would invite everyone over for a party.
Oh, his wife Donna, real nice lady.
Yeah, how do you know?
Yeah, go on.
Yeah, she would invite everybody over to the house, and then Gene would call them back and say, "You know that party that Donna was telling you about? It's not happening. We're not going
to
do it."
Wait, he disinvite you to a party his wife invited you to?
Yes.
Why?
And it wasn't just me. He would disinvite everyone that she invited.
Why?
Because he didn't like people coming over.
Being touched by peeing.
I don't know this couple that you're speaking of, but I will tell you, it sounds like he's on the right track.
Bean used to call people and uninvite them.
What were you doing, like cleaning up her, being like, I don't want anyone over, so you had to clean up the mess a bit?
I don't know why you're asking me. You should be asking this Gene guy, but my guess is he just didn't want people at his house. My guess is he just preferred to keep it chill. That's my guess.
Chill.
All right. Let's go to Brianna before the break. 1-800-520-1067. Brianna joins us from West Covina. She is on line 2. This is exactly what we're looking for. Brianna, thank you for listening. Thank you for calling. What's up?
Hi. So I had a really good friend who lived like down the street from me, and she would always come over to my house, but I was never allowed over to hers. The only time was like maybe 3 years into our friendship, I got to go over once, but I ended up finding out years later that I couldn't go over because her dad grew weed at their house.
I didn't even think about that. I didn't even think about somebody is trying to hide illegal activity.
That's brilliant.
Yeah. Did you get a good deal? Yeah. Was there a friends and family discount on the weed?
You know, it's funny because now she actually works for her dad, so... And I'm not friends with her anymore, but I'm sure I could.
Okay.
Yeah, just get her number and just pass it on.
Don't be lazy. Yeah. Let's get to that.
Yeah, don't Bogart.
Thank you, Brianna. Appreciate the call. 1-800-520-1067. You weren't allowed over to somebody's house. Did you ever find out why? We'll take your calls next on K-Rock.
Just ahead of Cage the Elephant, we're taking calls from people who were not allowed to go over to their friends' houses ever.
Yeah, I feel like in general that's kind of sketchy, but maybe there are some legitimate reasons that no one's allowed in the person's house. Let's find out from Trevor what his situation is. Los Angeles, line 1. Up next on the Kevin DeMeat Show. Hey, Trevor.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Good, thanks.
Great. First time caller. I have a 7 and a 9-year-old in the back seat, and they demanded I called in. I was a super hyper kid, and I went over to my friend's house once, and his mother collected antiques all throughout the house. And I literally walked in the house and went down the first hallway. She had one table. I swear it was like a half an inch of dust on it. Oh. And I ran my finger down the whole thing. And I've never seen anybody, an adult, have a breakdown that quickly.
She thought you were going to break something.
Yeah. Oh, see. Well, I don't know if the dust scratched the top of it or something. But literally, she said, get out of the house. And I was never allowed back in their house.
Wow. No. Yeah, I bet she was just freaked out that a kid was somehow going to not only mess up her dust collection, but also knock something off that table.
Dust collection.
And I was like a Tasmanian devil. So she's like, please just get the hell out of here.
She did the right thing.
Yeah. Trevor, it sounds like you've really chilled out. You're very calm now.
Oh, my God, Pat. So much.
He's literally with the 7 and 9-year-old, 120 down the freeway right now. One arm on the phone, one arm on the actual driver.
All right. Thank you for the call, my friend. 1-800-520-1067. We'll talk to you next after Cage the Elephant here on K-Rock.
Somebody won't let you over to their house. That's weird. And why?
How long, Allie, if you were dating a guy, would it start to really, really be a red flag for you if you didn't ever see the inside of his apartment?
If we had gone out like maybe 4 or 5 times, absolutely. So
really?
However long that was. Yeah.
Yeah. Gotcha.
Absolutely.
For 4 nights in a row.
All right. We're talking red flags or worse. Let's get back to your calls at 1-800-520-1067. Same number, by the way, if you want to text in, if you can't call. Let's go to Kevin. He's in Fontana. He's on line 3 up first.
Hey, Kevin.
Hey, Kevin and Bean. Allie, what's up?
Hey.
You tell us, man.
Hey. So I was dating this girl for about 4 years, never went over. I was 16 at the time, right? Never went over to her house. We always had to be outside in the porch or hanging out in the front yard, right?
So wait, then, so you went over to her house and could be sitting on the porch, but just not open that door?
Do not open that door. And if you open that door, you got to be on the driveway. Like, you just couldn't see in. You couldn't be anywhere near to look inside. Windows were always closed and everything.
Okay.
We dated for like 4 years, right? And I never had a problem with it. They were really Christian. I couldn't take her out to eat or to the movies or anything like that. So anything we had to do was in the front yard. Keep in mind, we were like 16, 15, like around 15, 16, 17 years old.
Right.
In 2016, I actually proposed to her, got engaged.
All right, hold up.
We're bearing the lead.
Hold up right there. So you dated her for 4 years. You were unable to step foot inside the house, and you asked her to marry you.
Yeah.
Doesn't it seem like, hey, if we're going to make this kind of commitment, I don't know, show me your house?
The parents never felt comfortable with it, and every time I tried to go in, they were like, no, not right now.
What if it was a serious problem? Like, what if it was a deal breaker for you in the house or something like that?
Well, it kind of was, because it was a problem, because eventually I moved in there when I got married and I lost my job. I moved in there with them, and then I realized what the problem was. The problem was all the cabinets, everything, like where you put the silverware, dishes, and all that, none of that had doors. They were like ripped off. There was a lot of like problems in the house, broken chimney, broken doors, no carpets in the room. There was like practically no furniture. And if there was
just falling apart,
no, it was like a crack house.
But they're not crackheads.
Oh, thank
they're
God.
Friendly people. All right. So they're just poor, okay? They're just poor. They couldn't afford anything, and it was a big problem for them. And then when I got in the first time, they were all apologetic, and you know, they were like, so sorry. And I was like, man, this is not a problem to me. Like, this is how I grew up in South Central. Like,
yeah, they were just ashamed.
My parents
sad. Before, you know?
And you got to remember how horny Kevin was. I mean, he needed to marry this woman.
She's the love of my life.
Have you helped make over the house at all, or they still live in this squalor?
I try to help, but, you know, like, I have to take care of my daughter first, my wife, and now my own home. So
right.
I kind of have to take care of my stuff first before I can take care of them.
Okay. You sound like a good man,
you
Kevin.
Do. You do.
Glad you called. Thank you, sir. Appreciate it.
All Kevins are good men. That's what I've noticed.
Well,
just in general.
Sure
I've noticed it.
1-800-520-1067. Let's go to line 5, Stanton, and this is Scott calling in.
Hey, Scott.
Hey, guys. Gonna miss you, Bean. Gonna miss you.
Thank you, sir. You too. What's up?
Hey, so I grew up not realizing that I was being raised by racists.
nothing worse than a racist.
And the woman that I married could not enter my house. And we started dating in high school, and she could not enter my house for about a decade.
What? 10 years? What? Yeah. Did you ever ask why?
It became very apparent.
All right. What are the races of the people involved?
My mother is was a beautiful white Anglo lady, and she decided to marry a Mexican man.
Okay.
And so then, when they had all of us kids, we were all a mixed race.
Right.
Okay.
And so I decided that I fell in love with this beautiful Filipino girl. And as soon as my mother got wind of that, she could never come to the house. What? And then when she worked at a grocery store that I worked at as well, my mother would purposely go into the store just to antagonize her.
God.
It was pretty horrible.
So
then my father passed. Okay, go ahead.
So she married a Mexican,
yeah,
but not down with the Asians.
No.
She has very specific racism.
Quite frankly, she only wanted her son to be with a nice white girl, I'm afraid.
Wow.
So what's your relationship like now that you and your girlfriend are married?
She did.
Well, when my father passed away in the 90s, 93, that kind of opened my emotional door to say, sorry, Ma, this is going to happen. And I just have to, it's going to. And so it did. And then the years went on, and this is the kind of woman my wife is. The last year of my mother's life, she found herself very ill and in the ICU for a number of months. And in that time, without being asked, my wife paid my mother's mortgage, wow, all of her bills. She made sure that she was taken care of. And when she came out of the ICU, which she did, and she learned this of my wife, she left the earth with a whole different view of race.
Oh, I thought you were going to say her last wife. Word was a racial yeah. slur.
Right, exactly. But the last thing saw was your wife putting the pillow on your mother's face.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show. It is 7:51.
Hey, just ahead of what's happening in R.J. Bell with his NFL Week 2 picks. Kevin, you were talking about that friend of yours, Gene, who used to disinvite people to his house. After
his wife was so sweet, and she would say, hey, come on over. And then he would call and say, don't.
Weird guy.
Yeah.
Lee writes in from Tustin. I wonder if Kevin's friend Gene might not have wanted people coming to his house because he didn't want them clogging his toilet and then leaving.
Oh, dear. Kevin.
Does he have a friend Kevin too, that guy?
Building a mountain and then calling for the valet. That's the story I heard.
I mean, I did run. I ran from his house.
Yeah. That's why I don't poop in public. I just get home.
I ran away like a...
And never told them they had to find out on the air that you're the one that caused their bathroom to basically be flooded.
That's right.
Probably 15 to 20 years later, yes.
Unbelievable.
Right. Goddamn Kevin.
Right?
Exactly right, sir. All right, 7:51. Ali is here with her. What's happening on a Thursday morning?
Remember when we had a gentleman on the air that was calling in to tell us about some shows he was going to be doing in Las Vegas? And he talked about everything but those shows he was going to be doing in Las Vegas.
Mm.
Talked about
I love that guy.
All the different animals that he was trying to kill at all his properties.
Mm-hmm. He was being, basically, it sounded like he was being overtaken by a total farm.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. That man is Terry Bradshaw. And it was one of the funniest interviews I think we've ever been a part of here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Well, it sounds like it's time to have Terry Bradshaw back on the show.
All right.
Yes.
Because legendary professional football player, iconic entertainer Terry Bradshaw is going to bring his musical comedy and storytelling production, The Terry Bradshaw Show, back to Las Vegas for some extended performances.
Terry Bradshaw!
The limited engagement will run in the Atrium Showroom at Luxor Hotel and Casino for 3 Tuesday nights in October.
7 hours each night.
October 1st. Yeah. October 22nd and October 29th.
But it is nothing like the pain that shingles causes.
What?
What?
Was that him?
That's him, yes.
Terry Bradshaw does a very popular series.
Shingles commercial.
I hope he does shingles chunk in the show. Yeah.
Man, when I got shingles, it was something awful.
I'm sorry, sir. We need to have him back on.
I agree.
Find out, A, how the original show went, if he's changing anything up, and did he sell the place in Hawaii that was overrun by rats?
I mean, maybe every day between now and then, just to keep getting updates.
Need to check in.
Please.
Yeah. He tells stories, and he sings, guys, in this show.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Songs.
I mean,
with his mouth.
We try to control interviews. We do our best to ask questions, make sure that we are, we're steering it.
Yeah.
With him, a minute in, we were like, hands off.
Yeah.
Go, dude.
Let him roll.
Just go.
We literally said, can you hold on because we want to do another segment with you? We never have two segment phone people ever. Oh, Terry Bradshaw.
The best.
Come back, please.
Yeah, we need him back to sell these shows, which honestly they're going to sell out. They have to because he's amazing. But we have to have him back on.
Agreed.
What about Terry Tuesdays?
It's not
Terry
enough.
Tuesdays.
It's not enough, but I'll take it.
By the way, he was denied that.
Yeah.
LeBron James.
Oh, they denied the Taco Tuesday.
He was trying
thing?
To get the Taco Tuesday thing so he could use it in different. Branding opportunities.
He lost it.
But the Taco John still retained that Taco Tuesday.
May I suggest Taco Thursday?
Taco
Thursday.
I mean, you could suggest that.
Mm-hmm. You could.
It sounds kind of racist to me.
Taco Thursday?
Or like you have a little speech impediment.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Who knows? Guys, if you were hoping that Joaquin Phoenix's Joker and Robert Pattinson's Batman were going to meet up on screen...
Nope.
Wait no more, because it's never going to happen.
Oh.
Joker movie director Todd Phillips said in a recent interview, nope, not going to meet up at all because for him, Phoenix's Joker doesn't really exist in the same universe as Pattinson's Batman.
This Joker movie is kind of a whole separate island unto itself,
standalone,
right? It fits into nothing.
Yeah. It's just a standalone origin story of the character, so he's not going to be meeting up with other DC people like, hey, remember me? I'm the Joker.
Is that how he would say it?
He'd probably say it differently, more menacing. Mm-hmm. I cannot wait for that movie, you guys.
Same.
Cannot wait. Paul Rudd, is there anyone besides maybe a Tom Hanks that you only hear wonderful things about?
Keanu Reeves.
But
people,
that's it.
People that run into these people always have something wonderful to say. People that have worked with them in the past always have wonderful
Henry
things.
Henry Winkler.
He's
and
there,
Ron
too.
And Ron Howard gets it, too.
Yeah. Oh, all delights.
All delights.
I think
all
Allie's point was there wasn't any more.
Yep. I mean, is there anyone besides Paul Rudd? And then I gave Tom Hanks, and now we've named 17 more. Well, all I'm saying is Paul Rudd now isn't that special.
Oh,
that's the point of my story. That
all
isn't
right.
the point. No.
Oh, no. Okay.
He is a total gentleman. He was on a flight from Calgary to New York City, took selfies with fellow passengers, sat next to two passengers who were from the Philippines, talked all about how he's always wanted to travel to their home country. Upon landing, he helped the ladies with their luggage, took selfies with him.
What if they were like, I can't get this guy off me. I don't know who he is.
What if they had no idea who he was?
He won't leave us alone.
You ever sit next to one of those guys that just wants to gab the whole time?
I don't care that he wants to go to the Philippines.
I have headphones on. Oh, come on.
Then he got my luggage, so I knew I had to talk to him even longer. Oh,
took his shoes off, put him on top of a seat.
Well, he was dressed pretty incognito. Black baseball cap, gray hoodie, sweatshirt, and jeans. Which just sounds like what he'd wear anyway, so not so much incognito. But I guess the moral of the story is we just named a ton of really nice people in Hollywood.
That's refreshing.
The By the way, there are thousands of people, and we named like six. So it is very rare.
Yes. Yes.
He is God's gift. Wow.
That is really nice of you to say.
That is nice.
See that chap over there? Get your hand off my penis! This is the bloke who got me on the penis, people.
Was that him?
Missed that.
That
guy.
Was him at the airport?
Yeah, I think so.
That is so weird.
I miss him.
Do you guys see the picture that Artie Lang posted yesterday?
Yes. Encouraging.
Yes.
I did not. What is it?
He posted a picture of himself and tweeted, great to be home. 7 months, 14 days sober, but one day at a time. Lots of new stories to tell. He also added he's going to announce some new tour dates on Friday. Thank you for the support. Love you all. It is the best that I have seen Artie Lang look in decades.
Yeah.
Granted, you know, his nose is still smushed when he tried to do some drugs that also had some glass in it.
Yeah,
so,
I don't think he can fix that.
Yeah, you don't fix that nose unless you rebuild the whole thing, which I don't know how they would do. But just his eyes, like, it looks like he has life.
He looks healthy.
Yeah,
he
was wearing like a J. Crew kind of fitted outfit.
Mm-hmm.
And he lost a ton of weight.
Lost a ton of weight. And because he's normally wearing like a old hoodie
schlubby.
With like a Atlantic City Plaza shirt or something, like, you know, and this looked really good.
Real specific.
Listen, I love shirts.
Yeah, he looked real good, and it was wonderful to see. So let's all hope he stays on that.
I love shirts.
That dork that sits across from us, Kevin.
How many shirts do I own? I notice people's T-shirts.
Wow.
I have thousands.
I love shirts.
What a nerd.
I love lamp.
Is it a toilet baby?
Nothing about what we were saying would make you ask that, sir. All right, some birthdays for you. Sam Neill, Nas, Andrew Lincoln, Ben McKenzie, Neil Peart, Emmy Rossum, and Jennifer Hudson.
Not only one of my favorite segments of the week on the Kevin and Bean Show, but one of my favorite jingles, too. Hit it, Steve.
Cause he's RJ Bell. RJ Bell. Yes, he's RJ Bell. RJ Bell.
RJ Bell is the founder of Pregame.com, the exclusive odds provider for the Associated Press, and he hosts the number one national sports betting show Straight Out of Vegas with RJ Bell. He's too modest to say this himself, but
3-0, his first week back on the Kevin and Bean Show for this 100th season of the NFL. Hey, RJ.
You know, my mom was in Vegas last week for my birthday. She came out. It was nice. And I was talking about you guys. I said, Mom, I said, you know, they like me, I think, right? I've been winning for them for 5 years, but they seem to begrudge our collective success. And she said, listen, son, she goes, let them say it, and if they don't, the audience will know something's wrong with them.
RJ, none of that happened.
You don't even have a mother.
Have a mom. You don't have those days.
Immaculate conception, right?
You could have done the Ravens minus 50, though. I guess you didn't realize that when you made your pick with them over the Dolphins. That was the craziest out-of-control game ever, wasn't it, RJ?
No doubt. And a lot of people speculate Miami may be the worst team in memory. And it's a motivational issue because in the NFL, even the worst teams try to win. But Miami, for whatever reason, is kind of doing the process, right? You might remember the 76ers in the NBA. It was like, let's lose for a while, get some good draft choices, and then we start winning. Mm-hmm. Well, in the NFL, that's never really been done. And now Miami, at least people are speculating, that's the perspective. So it's interesting. We didn't pick this game. But this week, the New England Patriots, defending champions, go to Miami and are favored by almost 20 points. That's as big of a road favor as we've ever seen.
That's amazing. All right, before we get to this week's picks, RJ, I just want to respond to something that you, or at least inquire for follow-up on something that you tweeted about in the week, which is that week one of the NFL, many bettors tend to overreact to. What do you mean by that?
Well, remember, we all have a huge, in our brains, and this is, you know, it's interesting about sports betting, right? Because you're going against the marketplace, other bettors, so you want to understand the flaws of their thinking. Well, one of the basic flaws of most people's thinking is we overemphasize what we saw most recently. And it makes sense, right? If you're out in the woods back in the caveman days, there was a rustling over there to the left, there might be a tiger. You don't think, Yeah, think you're walking now. Imagine, right?
Okay.
And you got the loincloth on, right? No cell phone. It's like, you know, 2,000 years BC, and you hear a rustling. You're thinking, oh, that could be something dangerous. That's because you're thinking, you're relying on what you're seeing now. You're not saying, oh, the last 10 times I went by that bush, there was no tiger
RJ,
in there.
RJ, I have a question. Are you drunk?
No.
Okay.
This is how, listen, you don't understand how I make these picks and win.
Okay.
That's the trick. You think it's easy.
He is in a loincloth right now, Kevin.
So to make a long story short, we all emphasize what happened most recently. Everyone saw, for example, teams do really well or bad last week, and they tend to think that's the truth, but we all know teams do good and bad across the season.
Right. I withdraw the question. I apologize for asking it. All right, let's get to this week's picks. The big dog game of the week puts you and me at odds, RJ. You've got my beloved Seattle Seahawks plus 4 against your beloved Pittsburgh Steelers. What up?
Yeah, so I do have Seattle here, and you might say, wait, RJ, I thought you said we overreact. Pittsburgh looked horrible. Well, true, but occasionally horrible means horrible, and I think the Steelers are just getting old. Big Ben is moving towards 40, and he took some tough hits. I mean, this is a guy that's not going to age like Tom Brady, and also the offensive line has gotten older for Pittsburgh. Seattle didn't look great last week, but they made a trade with Houston to get a good young defensive lineman, Clowney, and I think he's going to start stepping up. So all in all, I like the value. Remember, home teams should only be favored by 3. If they're even, they're 4 here, Pittsburgh, which means Seattle is supposed to be the worst team between the two. I don't think that's true. Seattle plus 4.
I love to hear that. All right, your best bet. You've got the Titans hosting the Indianapolis Colts.
Now, this is an example of there's a initial reaction, and then there's a backlash to the reaction. So remember, the Colts, Andrew Luck, and had an unexpected retirement weeks ago, right?
Right.
No one, he was 29 years old, one of the 5 best quarterbacks, says, I'm done, right? Now everyone said, Colts are done. Luck's out, Colts are done. But then they started thinking, you know, this backup, Brissett's not so bad, and they got a good offensive line. There's all this thinking going on, and they kind of forgot how good Luck is. So the idea that Tennessee is an equal team only to the Colts, which is a home team favored by 3, says, I think it's it's kind of a backlash to the backlash. I think the value's on Tennessee. So Tennessee minus the field goal over the Colts, who do not have Andrew Luck.
Okay. I don't think it's an overstatement to say this is the most anticipated matchup of two teams who met last year. The Los Angeles Rams are hosting the New Orleans Saints, and football fans all remember what happened the last time they played.
Yeah, so the sense is revenge, and it was a tough pass interference call that went against the Saints, and Rams benefited from it, and now it's in Los Angeles. Now, L.A., the Rams typically don't have a great home field. But the Saints, and again, that's, I think with the new stadium, it will get better. The Saints, though, are a horrible road team relative to how good they are, meaning the negative of them being on the road is pretty significant for the Saints. So let's say that equals out. So now we're saying, well, who's better, the Rams or the Saints? I think you could make the case the Rams, but I think it also equals out. So you're thinking, okay, now we got equal teams. We've got equal positive home field and negative road disadvantage. So why do you like the pick? It's because the line is 2.5. The difference between 3 and 2.5 is literally the difference between winning and losing. So we get to lay 2.5 when we should be laying 3. That's why it's a good pick. It's really that small of an edge. But remember, many NFL games end 3. It's the most common number. So the Rams minus 2.5 is the big game.
I have two different groups of friends in New Orleans who are flying to, one is a group of 8, flying to Los Angeles just to be in the stadium to see that revenge
game.
Wow,
but you got very wealthy friends. I mean, it's a whole different thing.
All right, RJ, you would have made our listeners some money with your 3-for-3 week last week. This week, your picks are the big dog Seattle Seahawks +4 at Pittsburgh. The best bet is the Titans -3 hosting Indianapolis. And the big game is the LA Rams -2.5 hosting the New Orleans Saints. Let's keep it going. Let's make it 2 wins in a row.
I'm going to tell my mom you were just fine with me this week.
Oh, geez. 'Cause he's RJ Bell. RJ Bell. Yes, he's RJ Bell. RJ Bell.
For about 20 minutes this summer, there was a movie in theaters called The Fanatic, starring John Travolta, directed by Fred Durst. Also, was it co-written by Fred Durst as well?
It was, yeah. Okay. It was co-written and directed by Fred Durst.
You know what time it is.
Here's my question for you, Jensen. We know that you are a Blu-ray head.
Yes.
Is this a movie that you are going to insist down the road on owning?
And unless I need a drink coaster, no. There's no need. This movie came out in theaters August 30th and then found its way into digital, I don't know, about...
One day later?
About a day later. So you can watch it on demand. You can watch it on iTunes. And you
can
asked
we
me,
not watch it?
Well, you asked me if it's good.
Yes, because we don't want to watch it. That's why we gave it to you.
That was my job here. It's so bad, it might be good.
Oh, interesting. Okay.
Now, you won't recognize anyone in the movie at all, right? Okay. Except the lead.
Mm-hmm.
John Travolta.
Two-time Oscar nominee John Travolta.
That's right. And just to give you a feeling of what this movie is like, I'd like to play you the first clip of John Travolta. This is the first line of the movie. And let me remind you again, he was nominated for 2 Oscars.
Hey, Aaron.
Chocolate mousse.
I can't talk too long. I gotta poo.
Wait.
Can you play it again?
Wait.
Can we play it again? Are
first
you kidding?
Line in the movie?
Because the guy says, hey, and then his name is Moose, so chocolate mousse. And then that's his first line.
Hey, Aaron.
Chocolate mousse.
I can't talk too long. I gotta poo.
I'm in.
I mean, I kind of love it.
It's what I always say. If you want to get out of a conversation, just say, I have to poo.
John Travolta is seen on a Vespa. He has this weird bowl cut. He wears a button-up shirt of the Universal Monsters that he says is one of a kind. He is slow. There's no questioning that he's playing sort of a...
kind of a mentally...
Little autistic.
Yeah, okay.
I mean, actually, probably a lot autistic. And he dresses a little like a 60-year-old Billie Eilish. He has, like, very long shorts on and a button-up. Also, yeah, his name is Moose. That's something to keep in mind. He is a horror movie savant. He is a celebrity collector, so he collects autographs, loves celebrities in general, but he's the biggest fan of Hunter Dunbar, who is a 90s horror movie icon played by... horror 90s icon Devin Sawa. Moose is going to end up at a party with Hunter, which he's thrilled about. Here, John Travolta is practicing for the party for the moment he's going to meet his hero, Hunter Dunbar, again, two Oscar nominations.
It's a pleasure to meet you, Mr. Dunbar. I have every one of your VHSs and DVDs. You were really rad in Vampire Killers. Oh? You want me to call you by your first name? Hi, Hunter. This is a one and only shirt, but I can tell you where to get it, but there won't be any there.
He's practicing for when he meets the man, right?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, look, it's hard to judge. It's hard listening to it. It's hard to judge if his acting is bad or not if he's playing a character who is slow.
Yeah, but the character is brutal. It's like what I'm trying to explain to you is that there is no full development of the character. Everything mm-hmm. I've told you so far is really all you're given.
The whole movie.
There's no like, oh, he had a head wound. Like, you don't learn anything about him as a character or his background or anything. You're just thrown into it with a man with a bowl cut who drives a Vespa.
Okay.
So I'm filling in some of the holes.
I'm feeling sorry for him so far.
All right. Well, you will lose that. Truth is, he sneaks into the party by scaling a fence. He orders a milkshake at the posh kind of Chateau Marmont bar.
This is Kevin.
They laugh at him.
How dare you?
Also, he's obsessed with ice cream and milkshakes. Did I tell you that?
Kevin! Long shorts, hopping over walls.
Bowl cut?
Ice cream?
A little slow.
He also gets in an accident. In the Vespa later. Sadly, Hunter wasn't at the party. He gets kicked out for being weird and having a bowl cut. Also, he's a Hollywood Boulevard street performer as a Victorian British policeman chasing Jack the Ripper. Did I tell you guys that?
That's what he does for a living.
He ends up at a comic book store signing of Hunter's, but when Hunter has to leave because of some personal issues, Moose crosses the line as a fanatical fan, right? And this is the first of many fights between the actual star, played by Devin Sawa, and John Travolta. Now, a paparazzi friend then shows Moose a star map app to see where celebrities are. This is his reaction.
Hello?
Leah! Leah, thank you! Thank you! Thank you so much!
Okay, calm down. Thank me for what?
The star map app is awesome! It's so awesome! Ben Affleck's house? I saw his house. It's so big. Did you know he has two pools? And James Franco lives 15 minutes away from me. 15 minutes, he's practically my neighbor.
I only pulled that clip because he sounds like Stryker.
He does. It's true. You look crazy.
Okay. So, yeah, go ahead, Bean. You're going to ask me something?
Was this movie tough to get through?
Yeah, bro. Real bad. My wife asked me why I have this job halfway through it. So he finds Hunter.
Jensen's recapping The Fanatic with John Travolta.
And it's directed, produced, and co-written by Fred Durst. So just to remind you.
Let's stick to what Kevin and Bean listen to.
Okay. So he finds Hunter's house to drop off a I deserve more kind of note. You know what I mean? Like, mm-hmm. dude, I bought all your movies. I bought all your shirts. He ends up, and I know it sounds like I'm missing a lot. I'm not. He ends up having another altercation with Devin Sawa. Hunter stabs him in the chest with a Sharpie, kind of like aggressively, uh-huh. and then signs his shirt, leaving like a little bit of a blood stain, which I guess Sharpies would leave a blood stain.
I could poke the skin if he hit it hard enough, maybe.
I don't know, but here's another clip. Fred Durst needs to convey that Moose is a maniac. You know, not just a Hollywood street performer. He needs to show that this guy has, like, a violent past. So this is when he has a run-in with another street performer. Again, two Oscar nominations.
I wish Freddy Krueger would come and chop off your head, and it would roll in the street, and a truck would squish it, and the blood would splatter everywhere, and everyone would watch it.
Sounds great to me.
So Fred Durst shot that and said, all right, that's a wrap on that scene. Let's move on to the next one.
And then in editing, he said, let's use that one. So from here, the madness leads Moose back to Dunbar's house where he's approached by a maid who coincidentally is also having sex with Hunter Dunbar. And during their exchange, he punches her and kills her.
What?
Yeah, I'm telling you, this movie's insane.
This is a crazy movie.
He accidentally pushes what looks like her nose bone into her brain, like he's Steven Seagal. Mm. This finally allows Moose to enter the house and use Hunter's toothbrush, play his piano, watch his home movies, and stay hidden in the house as Hunter and his son return home. And eventually, he watches Hunter fall asleep, right? And then he walks up to him, and he touches Hunter's ear, his eye, and his mouth, and his hair, each time pulling back to smell his fingers.
What? Okay. No, no.
And then he leaves undetected in the morning. But that next morning, we get this amazing scene in Hunter's car where Devin Sawa is driving with his son, and there's a certain band playing in the background.
You okay with some music? You like a little Limp Bizkit?
Sure.
You like a little biscuit?
Yeah.
Yeah? Some lounge? I used to listen to this back in the day. It's hot. Oh, my God. That is nice. That is nice.
What is happening?
I want you to pull your weenies out!
Okay, and wow. So now this leads us to Moose being crazier and crazier. Here's John Travolta, two-time Oscar nominee, acting crazy.
And who stuck by you the whole time? Me! I did! This is a nightmare! This is a freaking nightmare! No! It is not okay! Not okay.
That was a clip of the movie, not me watching the movie.
Wow.
Which it could have also been. This leads to a big shock. Moose breaks into his house. He ties up Hunter. You don't see that struggle at all. Just Hunter. We just see Hunter tied up.
Just tied up.
Yeah. And so basically, you know this part. It's misery.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, he has his favorite person tied up. He kind of plays with plastic toy knives, puts water all over him, calling it gas. Here's a clip real quick of that scene where he does like a... He, like, tells him to visualize what can happen if he lets him off the handcuffs out of the tie. So this is Devin Sawa trying to explain to John Travolta's character what will happen if he lets him go.
And when it's all done, we'll get a big bowl of chocolate ice cream.
Strawberry ice cream.
Yeah.
It's Kevin.
Yeah. Strawberry ice cream, Moose, of course. And then we'll come back to my place and throw in a couple of my action films, watch them on the HD TV. Yeah, does that sound good, man?
I love you. I love you.
You, me, a couple of action flicks, and some strawberry ice cream, right? You just, you and I, man.
It's you and me.
We just gotta take these ropes off first, you know?
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right.
I mean, what would make Kevin happier than a bowl of strawberry ice cream and a movie with Louds?
I'm not going to spoil the climax of the movie, which honestly...
It's Kevin! He becomes a radio guy!
He takes his mask off and it's Kevin Ryder. Okay, listen. Here's how it... I'm not going to ruin how.
You're not spoiling anything. No one's going to see this,
okay,
Jackson.
Somehow Moose ends up fingerless and deaf with a stabbed out eye walking down Hollywood Boulevard while Dunbar, Devin Sawa, gets arrested for the murder of his maid. No explanation. The first credit of the movie just says John Travolta. The second credit says Is Moose. The third credit says a Fred Durst film.
Oh.
You're welcome, everyone. That's God. The finale.
It is 8:52.
Our weekly visit with Dr. Drew Pinsky coming up right after 9 a.m. First Alley's here with What's Happening on a Thursday.
Respect my authority. Anyway.
That was a good impression. That was pretty good, Eric Carmen.
Eric Carmen. Oh.
The worst.
I thought that was Kevin James.
What?
Damn it.
Well, his authority has been respected. Again, you guys. Comedy Central has just announced that they have given South Park another 3-season, 30-episode renewal. That means that the longest-running primetime scripted series in cable, which is also TV's longest-running animated series after The Simpsons, will return at least through a 26-season and 327 episodes, you guys.
So much money.
I'm screaming.
So much money.
And by the way, I remember 20 years ago, those guys were so dead they could barely put the show together every week.
Yeah.
Remember 20 years ago,
they were
still trying to get the show done in time to drop it off to the network.
And they
would
24 hours straight.
Yeah, because they run real time weekly,
yeah,
which is very hard to do. They run their own live
show. I was so bored.
Isn't that Lisa Simpson?
Yeah, I thought it was.
Okay. Yeah, what was that about?
That was weird for South Park.
It was the wrong.
Do you guys have any more Simpsons clips?
I thought that was
do you have any Family Guy clips that we can play right
now?
That's
not what I thought.
Anything?
That one's on me.
I'm going to say that I don't watch South Park.
Oh, my gosh.
I hear it's still great.
That's what they say. I haven't watched it in forever. But people think it's hit its stride.
I love Eric Cartman so much.
I do, too.
Like it.
I watch a decent amount of episodes every season. It's great.
One of the reasons I didn't have children, besides the fact that I have no ovaries and nobody loved me enough to put a baby
wow,
in me,
okay,
is because I knew my child wouldn't be Eric Cartman. Like, that's my ideal kid. He's such
really?
A little
You want to be
S.
that guy's mom.
He's just such a little S. He'd make me laugh so hard.
Kaiser Permanente.
Okay.
Peter Griffin.
Yeah, not South
from
Park.
The show.
Again.
He's
no,
from
he's
the...
from Family Guy. Mm. What's happening? Really?
Oh, and here we go.
Okay.
It's on.
Race war.
Race war. Race war's on, everybody.
That's Carver.
It's going down. It's going down.
Yeah.
Race war. Come on. Race war.
Okay.
That worked, right?
That worked.
I
yeah.
was.
Nope,
again,
same
that's
same
Lisa
Sorry.
Goddamn
But it was
Simpson.
On a different machine, so I was just trying to. I don't know.
Oh, apparently we have a lot of Kenny clips, but since he's dead, we're not playing him.
Mm-hmm.
See?
I love it! You know, you guys ought to watch it. Again, making that's... fun of people like that, you could hurt their feelings.
That is King of the Hill!
Oh, sorry.
What is going on?
We just don't have them labeled properly.
I hate you all!
All these South Park things are different cartoons.
It's odd.
You guys go straight to hell. So Kevin Hart is out of the hospital. TMZ has learned that he is now at a live-in rehab doing intense physical therapy to recover from his car crash injuries and his surgery. Sources with direct knowledge told TMZ that he's very happy to be out of the hospital, that he is called home for 10 days. He's got a real positive attitude, and he keeps saying that he's just grateful to be alive. TMZ sources also say that he's realistically looking at around a week, more or less, at the live-in facility. And then I would assume someone like a Kevin Hart, thankfully, with the money he has and the resources, can have someone come to him for the rehab. He doesn't have to get in the car, drive down there, be in a class with a bunch of people. So, good.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Speedy recovery.
Yeah.
Can you repeat the part of the stuff where you said all
that
about
is,
things?
That is, again, not South Park.
Okay.
Don't we have...
The human wang is a beautiful thing.
We don't have the teacher.
Okay.
None of that?
Isn't there anyone who knows what Christmas is all about?
Oh, my God. That is peanuts.
you wanted the teacher from South Park? Actually, I do have that.
Oh, my God. Again? Peanuts.
Okay. That's not right either, then.
It might be best if you just let it go. Okay.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
Long road for that one.
Woo-hoo!
Long slide for an out.
Woo! I'm surprised you don't have the Christmas poo. Bean,
Mr.
of all people.
Mr. Hanky?
I don't think I do.
Hmm. Hey, I don't think I have Mr. Hanky here.
Is this it?
Isn't that creepy? Yep, that's it.
Okay.
No, not it. Sorry.
All right.
Fire must cleanse us.
I mean... Mr. Hanky, the Christmas poo, might be one of the greatest things in television history.
It's pretty sweet.
I think I love South Park more than most humans.
I mean, you should watch. When's the last time you watched it?
Last week.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, you're still in there.
Yeah.
All right.
Pretty awesome, you guys. Did I ever tell you when I went to the opening night of Trey Parker and Matt Stone's Broadway show, Book of Mormon?
I don't know.
They had the big opening night, and there were celebrities galore there. There was Cher.
Wow.
I mean, Casey Affleck sat right in front of me with Rick Rubin and Wes Anderson.
Kaiser Permanente.
Yeah.
Wow.
I was like, I don't know how I have these seats, but it's awesome. But I was watching the show, and I grew up with Mormons, and I also worked in Utah.
Mm-hmm.
And when your last name is McKay, and you move to Utah, which the old leader of the Mormon church is David O. McKay, people all assume you're Mormon.
Oh. Okay.
And they tell you things that maybe they shouldn't be telling you. But I laughed at parts of Book of Mormon that no one else was laughing at. That they came up to me during the intermission and they were like, "You Mormon?" And I said, "No, I explained." And they're like, "Yeah, those are jokes for only Mormons in the audience.
Oh,
and
that's
you
funny.
Were the only one." And I was like, "Oh my God, can we be best friends?" And then I thought about their names and I was just so thankful I didn't call them what one of you guys did. Do we have that clip at least?
What we did.
Trat and May.
Oh,
you don't remember? God
yes.
damn it. I wasn't
well,
even gotta, on the show.
Well, you got to give us a heads up.
You should be
you
thinking
did.
Of
you
these
did,
things.
You did, by the way, drop that very fast.
Thank
yeah,
you.
But you should
a
be.
A tiny heads up.
You should be thinking about these things. You're
all right.
With the name you came up with. Hit it, Steve.
I can accept that.
All right.
Hold we'll, on. Hold. It's going to be worth it.
This is...
No, this will pay off. This will pay off.
Is it Heimer?
Heimer. Listen.
Nope, guys are permanente.
Okay.
I feel like we're getting to it.
Maybe look up Trat. Trat.
They'll call me the hose.
Maybe look up...
Got it.
Okay.
Yes, this is totally worth it. Nice long wait for this.
And now, a moment with Bean.
This is like when May and Trat, Trat and May, rather, when they... What am I trying to say here, Kevin?
Matt and Trey. Yeah.
Matt and Trey, thank you.
Let's this is like Matt and May from now on.
That was a moment with Bean.
It worked.
See? Worth it.
You're totally right. We should have thought of that.
Well, I do believe they land on the moon.
Getting on South Park. That's a real human
that
man.
That is a human.
Do you believe? How is he not doing
do
voices?
Do you believe we landed on the moon? Hear it one more time.
Well, I do believe they land on the moon.
He could be a South Park character.
To remind you, that was a guy at, you know, at a bar.
Good times.
You
all right.
Go back, Bugs. We need more of him.
Yeah, we
do need more.
Some birthdays for you. Jennifer Hudson, Emmy Rossum, Ben McKenzie, Andrew Lincoln, Nas, Sam Neill. And that's what's happening.
This day in history with Old Man Reuben.
It was 1942, and our president, Franklin D. Roosevelt, started rationing gas in the U.S. as part of the country's wartime efforts. It was implemented to guarantee necessities to everyone, especially poor people. So, I did what any good red-blooded American would do. I started hoarding gasoline. Yeah, I ran a gas station out of the backyard of my house, slinging that petroleum for 300 to 400% more than I paid. And, in turn, I took that money and opened an orphanage to save sick kids.
Huh.
Nah, I'm f***ing with you. I used that money to buy hookers. But if someone used that gas I sold to burn down an orphanage, hell, I wouldn't have known. Whatever. They were good hookers, though.
See, because Reuben is old.
My God. Jesus. That was dark, man.
It's getting weird. It's getting weird.
All right. Thanks so much for joining us here on the Kevin and Bean Show. A rare DJ Omar Khan appearance ahead of our guest on the phone. Omar, you seem delighted. You also have a spring in your step. You seem like you're well-rested. You're happy. You're tanned. You're ready.
I am finally able to sleep. For a couple of years now, I've suffered from just, it's not insomnia, but I just... It takes me about an hour to an hour and a half to fall asleep.
Right.
You know, I'm just laying there, my mind's racing, and I couldn't figure it out. And I try, you know, warm milk, and I tried, it's called melatonin.
Sure.
Or something
sure,
like that.
Yeah, sure.
And that had, like, no effect on me.
Right.
You squeeze one out?
What? I've been trying that since I was, like, you know, 9 years old. So,
So that's about it. Okay.
Exactly. My body's built a high tolerance for that.
So wait, if you solve this problem, I want to know what you're doing, because I don't sleep either.
So I did a little bit of research, and I bought a little vape pen.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. It's indica. Okay. Indica weed. I take one little hit of that.
Okay.
And in 5 to 10 minutes, I'm out.
Sweet.
And I wake up totally refreshed. And what I used to do is I would wake up every couple of hours and look at my clock. Mm-hmm. I don't even do that.
You're sleeping through the night.
I'm sleeping through the night. It's
amazing.
And
you're waking up with no residual...
No.
I don't even...
No hangover?
No, nothing. Yeah, I feel amazing, actually.
Wow. That sounds great.
Well, yeah, it's the best.
What could be wrong with that?
My takeaway is everyone should be vaping.
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
There's nothing safer. Hey, Dr. Right. Drew, how are you?
Hey, good morning, guys. Hey.
So you're with us that vaping is what all the cool kids should be doing right now, right?
So it's a little bit complicated, guys.
Okay.
I'm signing off on the indica. I think that's an interesting idea. And it would certainly work therapeutically for him. What we don't have adequate evidence to tell you, though, is what could happen down the line, how long you should take it, what the risks are. We just don't know. So good on you for finding something that works well, but how long and what the risks are, I can't tell you. However, you've all heard about this syndrome of people becoming developing respiratory failure from vaping, right?
No, I thought it was 100% safe.
Well,
very serious.
100% of the cases were in cannabis vaping units.
That's
they
what
were
I'm doing.
Not nicotine. And they were not flavored nicotine. Okay?
I did not know that, and I didn't pay attention to the news. They do not
because
make that
they're
clear.
Not they're such a moral panic about vaping generally that they don't even listen to their own story, which is, strictly speaking, it's probably going to be one or two different products. And what happens with those particular cannabis products is that the vape doesn't fully volatilize. It turns into an oil that coats all the surfaces of the lung, so the lung does not function, and there's nothing we can do about it, and you die. So that's a concern. Maybe there's other means than vaping to get the indica into your body, right?
Okay, let me stop you right there, Dr. Drew, because if what you're saying is true, and I certainly always trust you, the news is doing us a great disservice by making
fake
it sound...
news? Are you kidding?
It makes
false headlines?
It makes it sound like this 18-year-old student athlete who now has the lungs of a 70-year-old that's in the hospital right now. You're telling me that that was all from doing weed.
It was not the weed. It was something about the weed vaping product.
Gotcha.
And it was only this certain product, and we don't have yet an identification on exactly what happened there. Now, also, there has been grave and legitimate concerns about the flavored nicotine products for two reasons. One, the flavor stuff, they're worried, could have maybe somewhere down the line similar risks to these cannabis products. That's a legitimate concern. Remember the old popcorn lung? That was a flavored product. They got rid of that immediately, and you never heard about that again until this, this cannabis product. But the problem with the flavored units is they're designed to attract young people, and that is reprehensible. So that needs to come off the market. The marketplace and the manufacturers did not properly police themselves. Although I'm not for government overreach, I applaud this move by the government. I think it was the right thing. But you'll notice they've done nothing with the nicotine itself. The nicotine vaping products still are around because they're the leading means to get people off cigarettes. They're still the most effective way to get people away from the product that actually causes the heart disease and the cancer. It's not the nicotine, it's the tobacco.
So I've been reading a little bit about getting too much vitamin E from the Juuls and from the... Why would that... It seemed like there would be some poison or something. Why is vitamin E the problem?
Yeah, I mean, any excess vitamin can have toxic effects. They're searching. They're searching for reasons. They're searching for reasons to justify their moral panic. The reality is the flavored products were being marketed to young people. Stop it. They didn't. Sorry, you can't do that anymore. Good move. Secondly, there's something about these cannabis units that in certain situations, and by the way, I'm sure they'll take care of it. It's not like cannabis in a vaping unit is going to go away, but they're going to have to really look long and hard at these products and why these certain ones went awry. And then there will always be nicotine vaping products because they're extremely useful for getting people off cigarettes. It's the most, every study that has been done with them shows they're more effective than anything else.
So you're saying vape away, people.
I'm saying if you're on cigarettes, you should vape away immediately because it is literally infinitely more safe than the tobacco product.
All right, what about Omar?
Yeah, like when should we set up the funeral?
Well, if he keeps using the cannabis product, I mean, producer Dave was telling me the same thing. He's like, "Oh, come on, man!" I'm like, "I'm calling Chris to tell her to prepare things."
So a guy like me who really, you know, loves this product and it really works for me, do you recommend me to stop vaping and just start smoking?
I wonder if there's an edible or something.
An edible? For me, when I smoke, it hits me almost instantly, and I'm in sleep in 10 minutes. I hear edibles take a while to get into
your
system.
Yeah,
it can be an hour or longer.
But you can plan accordingly, right? You could do that accordingly.
Go.
I mean, listen, this is a commercial product now. I bet they have 10 solutions for you if you go back to them. One of them will probably be, hey, don't worry about this, which is probably true, but I would worry about it until this is all really fully fleshed out. In the meantime, what alternatives to have? There used to be all kinds of other sorts of volatilizing units that are out there that may be things to, you know, go check. I'm sure they've got tinctures, and you could try CBD also. Maybe it's the CBD and the THC that worked. I mean, just experiment a little bit.
I use a suppository. Is that good?
Oh my God. I use LSD. Is that cool?
Hey, Dr. Drew, let me jump in with just one more question before we let you go, and that is, I think it's to the president's credit that he is instructing the FDA to move swiftly on this because it is becoming a health crisis with people, numbers in the hundreds in the hospital now. I think what Kevin and I were talking about off the air is we always complain that the FDA seems to take too long to let things get on the market. How did this end up being available for sale before any of these things were tested so that this would have been avoided in the first place?
Because this is the over-the-counter market, which is mostly the Wild West. It's not the prescription market.
Gotcha.
And these things are regulated more like foods, and they worry more about the claims they're making than some of the other issues like efficacy and safety that would be so carefully hashed out with a prescription product.
Understood. Great answer. All right. DrDrew.com is where you want to go to find all the great podcasts and live appearances the good doctor is doing. You can hear him Monday through Friday, noon to 3 on 790 KABC. And see a doctor now in the comfort of your own home with the Heal app. Just download it in the App Store or Google Play. Once again, you have answered all of our questions in RIP Omar. Thanks, Doc.
Hey. I want a werewolf baby.
Just putting it out there, just in case.
Understood.
Hey, Allie, what's happening here on this Thursday morning?
Well, we talk about days like 9/11, somber days where you don't want to receive ads from companies that are like, we're rolling back the prices to 9/11 so we never forget. Like, dumb stuff like that. You don't use tragedies to sell things.
And companies do that.
Absolutely do.
And there were people making a big deal about the fact that the Mets wore some 9/11 sneakers last night, and then they scored 9 runs on 11 hits, and people were like, ooh.
Whoa. I'm screaming.
Right?
Well, Kristen Cavallari, you remember her from Laguna Beach. She was, or still is, married to Jay Cutler. They have a show together called Very Cavallari. You might remember her from the greatest quote, I think, really ever.
Ever.
On television.
If you and Steven had babies, they'd be so good looking. They would.
Because Steven's all tan.
Well, she was reportedly under fire because she posted on her Instagram a picture of her in a tiny black dress looking pretty sexy with the caption, New York City for 24 hours and what a time to be here. Always remember. Okay.
Nope.
Or you could post anything other than New York except for a thirst trap of you looking hot. With a caption
look,
of never
let's not,
forget.
Let's not talk about the thirst trap
right.
part.
I mean,
let's focus mostly on the 9/11
part.
Stuff.
Okay. All good. Okay. Separate from 9/11.
Different
right?
things.
Absolutely.
Okay, all right.
Okay, we're all on the same page then.
Yes.
So
make
she,
sure.
she can't help but be hot, by
she
the way.
Can't. She can't.
It's not her fault.
Don't
yeah.
hate the photo, hate the caption.
So you're saying wrong photo with the message. Maybe
yeah.
you could have changed
hate the photo
that.
Too, but
okay.
Right.
Got it. Well, she has now fired the member of her social media team.
Canceled.
That posted that. So,
Kristen Cavallari has someone posting her Instagram photos for her, you guys.
Yeah, I was
is
thinking
what it
about
sounds
that.
Like.
That but I, then I thought maybe it's an easy way to pass the blame.
That too. But she also has, she has a whole brand now. She has her own clothing line, I believe, or whatever the Very Cavallari show is about. I think it's a store or something.
Don't know.
Okay.
Don't watch it.
So,
who knows?
Who knows, you guys? Who knows? Felicity Huffman is going to be sentenced tomorrow, you guys. And
canceled.
I have a question for you guys.
Yeah.
Do you think she should go to jail?
Yes.
No.
Really?
No.
Oh, we have a debate.
I don't.
Why do you not think so?
Because what she should have to pay a huge fine.
Wait, hold on. I need to get the definition down.
Okay.
You think she should not be sentenced to jail? I think she should be sentenced to jail, but I don't think she should, like, because of overcrowding and stuff, she'll get out early. But you're saying she shouldn't even be sentenced.
I don't think so.
Okay. No.
I mean, there is that argument that is popular among people to say, look, if it's a person who is unlikely to commit the crime again, mm-hmm. which certainly that's what's going on here, mm-hmm. and is no danger to society, then there's only the punishment aspect of it. And I feel like the punishment has been meted out. I mean, I feel like she's been punished.
Mm-hmm. Well, I feel that if they let her get away with this, technically...
I'm not saying let her get away with it. I'm saying a huge fine.
Yeah. I mean, I just think this is the time...
Or community service or whatever.
As someone who went to USC and did not have rich parents and actually had to go to another school in order to afford it when I transferred, I think that if they don't make a statement here, this does not get across the message that we need to for our own college system, which is already seeming...
you don't think
unneeded.
That message is out there, though?
No.
No?
Mm-mm.
No?
I don't. I think that this
look
will...
at who else is didn't even plead guilty to it.
Yeah.
They don't believe they did anything wrong.
They need,
I'm
to,
talking
they
about
need
you,
to say, they need to say, hey, listen, college still means something, mm-hmm. although, I mean, for my kid in 18 years, I doubt it will. But anyway, let's say the college still means something. They have to put their foot down here, then, and give it some value. You know?
I can see that.
And when you say it's a victimless crime.
It's not.
You've got, like Jensen said, the kids that were denied a space at USC that worked their ass off to get in there. Mm. You've got USC. Your reputation is tarnished. That's not great.
Yeah.
And then you also, if you think about the kid, like, let's say, it sounds like her kid didn't know, as opposed to Lori Loughlin's daughters that were posing in whatever rugby shirts or whatever that was. The emotional distress that is on her kid?
Yeah.
That's a victim? So right there, we just named three victims of
30
this.
Days sounded pretty good.
And if it's your sentence 30 days, chances are you don't serve any of it or just one
day.
A
day or two,
of it. So
in a perfect world, I can see that. In a perfect world, forget the overcrowding situation. Mm-hmm. How long would you like to see her spend in jail, each of you?
I'll go first and say 2 weeks seems about right.
2 weeks in jail. Allie, how about you?
I'll go a month.
Okay. She'll stick to the sentence, basically.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I think the fine I heard was only $20,000, which is
nothing to her.
Which is 10 cents to her, right?
I would think. And then there was.
I think she doesn't go to jail and she gets fined $200,000.
That's what
you know what I mean? Like, really.
I still don't think $200,000 to Felicity Huffman and William H. Macy is a lot of money. It definitely isn't a lot of money to Massimo. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah.
So
And I also think that at least Felicity Huffman did the right thing at the beginning by saying, I did this. She was repenting for it. She said, I'm so ashamed of it. Then you've got Lori Loughlin and Massimo that are like, nah, we'll chance it. Mm-hmm. We'll see how it goes. They should be up against a lot more, for sure. But all these people are assholes. Who's with me? I mean, am I right?
You are right about that.
Okay.
It should be claimed that it should go in their permanent record that they're assholes.
Oh, yeah. They should have to wear a shirt that says asshole.
Just as a PS, though, to this, and I know it's not exactly the same situation, haven't there been thousands and thousands of students who have gotten in because their parents have made huge donations to those schools?
Yes.
Yes.
And doesn't that also bump people who worked way harder to try to get into those schools who don't make it because that slot is taken by a rich kid?
Yes, and let's go after them, too.
Yes.
I don't think that we should let people off, though, because it's happened before. I've never felt that way. I feel like, if not, let's get these people, and then let's start tightening it up, baby.
And isn't that just the biggest reason that they should be charged with something? Because it has happened before, and mm-hmm. they still chose to do it because nobody is ever getting in trouble for any of this. There is no accountability anymore. People just, that's all right. You're going to be fine. There's just no accountability.
How do you feel about legacy admissions?
Yeah, that is always weird. But
That's a weird one, too.
What does that mean? You went there so your kids get
Adler,
to go there?
Adler would be able to go to SC easier because he's a legacy. But I do think those don't mean as much as they used to, from what I understand.
In other words, they don't give it the weight they want.
No, I think you have to still pay in order to...
That's bogus.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's what I... Even when I went to college, that was... legacy didn't mean as much as, like, your dad's a booster.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That was, like, the biggie.
All right, well, I guess we'll find out tomorrow what happens with Felicity. And William H. Macy didn't know anything about it, or
no,
for
did.
Some reason he did because he was never nabbed for this.
Yeah, he never did anything illegal, but I think he was said to be aware of it, but I don't think they could get him on.
That's interesting.
Also, better actor, so let him go.
True. Oscar nominee.
Yeah. Fargo. Don't put him in jail.
Right.
Agreed.
So a South Florida woman who claimed to be a psychic fortune teller has been sentenced to 3 years and 4 months in prison. Why? Because she swindled $1.6 million from a Texas woman to remove...
From one person?
To remove a supposed curse from her family. Hmm.
Did she remove the curse, though?
Yeah,
well,
that's my
great
thing.
Question.
Great question.
So, court records show that 28-year-old Sherry Tina Uwanowicz was sentenced last week in Miami. She previously pled guilty to wire fraud and must pay restitution in the case. Investigators say that she met the victim in Houston, Texas back in 2007, gained the woman's trust, convinced her that a curse had been placed upon her family.
Wow. Mm-hmm.
She needed large sums of monies for crystals and candles. Those are some expensive crystals and candles. To perform various meditations that would lift the curse. This went on for years and years.
Plus, she's a prince in Nigeria,
mm-hmm.
and she just needs you to put some money in the bank.
And the Social Security office needs you to call them.
Correct.
They found some fraud.
And we've talked about it before, where, you know, people, like old people, that get that phone call that say, your Social Security has been nabbed, send this money, or whatever, you're wanted for this, or blah, blah, blah. And they're like, here's my credit card number.
Yeah, they fall into it very easy.
They fall into it. However, how do you fall into this? Like, you just believe it so much that it a psychic it could be right? Like, does it, like, people that believe astrology and that they have to follow certain things, like maybe they get that month horoscope a month in advance, and then they kind of start tailoring their whole month to what the astrologer
that's
says.
That's just straight dumb. Am I right?
They're real, Kevin. Those people are real.
Horoscopes? Oh, the people.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Just saying.
Wow, that's unbelievable.
I bet there are still people, maybe even in our listeners, who consider a potential date's star sign.
Absolutely.
Before they go out with them.
I think people don't sign contracts when things are in, Mercury's in retrograde. Mm-hmm. I think it's all
crazy.
The way out. Yeah. Yeah.
We all agree that's crazy, right? Because Allie's just looking at me like, like she's not agreeing. She's not giving me an agreeing look.
Allie's on the fence.
I think I'm on the fence,
Listen,
too.
But... as a Gemini, I agree with you, kind of, but I don't agree with you. Yeah, we should actually talk to people tomorrow about that.
Yes, we should talk to people.
We should talk to all of those females.
I said I was on the fence, too, and I know I'm not the most masculine guy on the show. But
let's just check. Let's just see tomorrow.
It's not the definition.
Are Geminis on the fence a lot, Allie, because they're twins?
No,
because...
Geminis are just like polar opposite type of things. No, we're never on the fence. What am I doing? Mm-hmm. We tend to be very decisive people.
But you can't date a Virgo, though. I know that.
Well, Scorpios.
Oh, is that the problem?
Which is what I am.
Which is what I am.
Well, it'll never work out for our polyamorous relationship, guys.
Hip right in the bud.
Super bummed. Let's do that tomorrow.
All right.
Yes. I like it. Okay,
I like
cool.
it. Crazy people, call us tomorrow.
No, Kevin C. People won't call.
Look,
if
we'll
you
be
do
nice.
Like,
we'll try and be nice. We'll do our best to be respectful.
Call now.
Oh, God.
And we will not attack if we can help it.
Maybe Kevin should
please call now.
Some birthdays for you: Jennifer Hudson, Emmy Rossum, Ben McKenzie, Andrew Lincoln, Sam Neill, and Nas. And that's what's happening.
Thanks, Allie. 5 p.m. commercial-free hour is happening thanks to the Random Act of Helpfulness and the SoCal Helpful Honda Dealers. Tomorrow morning, an all-new Kevin and Bean show. We just mentioned you believe in horoscopes.
Let's do it.
We're going to treat you with great respect.
but no Capricorns, though, because they're assholes, right?
Okay. I think we can all agree on that. Keep it 100 because it's Friday. We've got animal stories and an old friend returns, Jerry Springer.
Yay.